Our first reading this morning is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord after all. That message spread out throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John, announced how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness for sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 to 26. If for this is life only we hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then it is coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. After he has destroyed every ruler and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give thanks to the risen Lord, for his love has no end. Hallelujah. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and she wept. She bent down over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, "If you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some years ago, when my children were very young, I took on a very small part-time job. I went to work at a residential home, just a few hours, but some of those hours meant me keeping awake all through the night, a Saturday night. The worst part for me was around 5 o'clock in the morning, just as dawn was about to break. I had that kind of empty feeling. I was hungry and tired. So what I would do is push open the oak door at the back of the grand house and go and stand on the patio and take a breath of fresh air. And the air was still, almost silent, but some of the birds were practicing their dawn chorus in the background. There'd be an ethereal mist across the rockery and the shrubs beyond. The light was beginning to play tricks in the sky as it filtrated here and there. It was a wonderful moment, early, the first day of the week. Several years later, I had the privilege of going to the Holy Land, and I stayed in a Jewish-run hotel in Tiberias. And when I got to my room, I was delighted to see that my balcony faced right onto the Sea of Galilee. I could sit there and dangle my feet in the water. So I decided to set the alarm for 5 o'clock in the morning the next day, the first day of the week. And I sat out on the balcony when the alarm went off and I watched. And to my splendor and to my glory, I watched dawn awaken on the Sea of Galilee, the actual Sea of Galilee. And the sun cascaded down on the water and it rippled with all these colors of morning. The air was so still, you couldn't hear a sound. Everything suddenly became new and wonderful and refreshing. And I believed for a moment this spectacular was just for me. And then I leant forward on the rails of the balcony and tucked my chin there. Turned to the left and saw that every balcony someone was looking out at the same time and enjoying the spectacular. Early, the first day of the week, the opening line in the gospel that I have just read said it was early, the first day of the week, when Mary stepped out. Did she notice the light causing a few shadows on the buildings around? Did she notice perhaps there was an ethereal mist on the rockery and the shrubs behind? Did she notice some of the birds had woken up early for their dawn chorus? No, I'm sure she didn't, because she stepped out full of sorrow and grief and sadness. And I'm sure she felt the chill air, and she wrapped the cloak around her and she held the ointments and the oils ready to take to put on the body of Jesus, which is the custom. Early, the first morning of the week, and the other women gathered, and off they went. I'm not sure what would have been on their mind, but some fear for their lives. They didn't know if there were guards on duty. They didn't know how they were going to move the stone away to anoint the body of Christ. But Mary loved Jesus. And if this was the last thing that she could do for him, she would do it gladly. So they walk towards the tomb. Early, first day of the week, with hushed whispers and hushed tones. A new dawn was about to break. A new dawn that would change her life and change the world. Because as she approached the tomb, we've heard, we know it well, the story, the stone had been miraculously pushed to one side. And Mary looked inside and she couldn't see for grief at all the body of Jesus. And she ran from the tomb and she ran to the upper room and she found Peter and she found John and the other disciples and said, "He's not there." Peter and John, in bewilderment, ran towards the tomb. One disciple outran Peter and got there first. They went inside. And then Peter went inside, and it was true. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ was not there. And in their disorientation and confusion, they hot-footed it back to the upper room to tell the others. And Mary turned around and was alone. Early. The first day of the week. She looked into the tomb. She looked into the abyss of blackness and emptiness. She tried to find Jesus among the dead. But she didn't know that Jesus had risen and was standing beside her. But she had her back to the sun, back to the light. And there she was, suffering with this grief and loss at that moment, until Jesus said, "Mary." She recognized his voice and she turned and saw something she couldn't see before. Because of her tears, she could not see the glory. Because of her grief, she could not feel the joy of the risen Lord, until now, when those tears cleared and were replaced by joy and happiness and her Lord. She was the first to see the risen Lord. She was the first to go and tell her brothers and sisters, "The Lord had risen indeed. Alleluia." That day, that dawn, early morning, the first day of the week, her life changed. And every day for us, there is a new day and a new beginning and a new dawn. We can step out, and sometimes we too are full of grief and sadness and loss. And then the world is noisy and confused at the moment, and we stop looking and focusing on the sun, because the sun is behind us as we look to things that are dark and in an abyss and lose our focus on Jesus in our lives. But today, remember, each day is a new start. A new day, a new dawn. Look for Jesus in the life around us. Look for Jesus in your home, your neighborhood, your community, your society, your world, and you will find him. A new dawn, a new beginning, and that can be for you the first day of your life. Amen. Please sit or kneel for our prayers.
Lord, without your resurrection, our faith would be empty and without hope. But you're alive, and we rejoice and dance and wonder in the mystery of your presence among us. We pray for your church. Free us from the shackle of guilt and legalism, and help us to proclaim the message of healing and forgiveness for which you died. Risen Lord, be present in these needs. Lord, your friends and disciples must have been utterly bereft at your death, for all their hope and purpose broken. And then you appeared to them in your risen form, giving rise to more puzzlement and doubt. And so we pray now for those who are puzzled about you and doubt that you lived and doubt that you died for them. Risen Lord, be present in these needs. Lord, you rose again to bring new life and hope to all, but many face the keen disappointment of broken hope, lives damaged by broken relationships, broken trust, people with broken hearts, people in despair, broken bodies by torture, and broken spirits. We pray for all subject to such brokenness that they'll find hope in you. Risen Lord, be present in these needs. We pray, Lord, for broken communities, especially those in the Middle East. And today we pray for Sri Lanka. We ask for your forgiveness for our apathy and our desire to wash our hands of involvement in the plight of others. We pray that power-obsessed leaders in the world will ease their pressure on their people. We give thanks for those who have courage to step forward in places of peace and conflict. And we pray for them and their agencies who work with love to build communities of hope. Risen Lord, be present in this need. Risen Lord, surround with your presence and peace those who doubt their own worth, those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. Surround those friends and family and medical staff who care for them. We name silently now someone we know who needs you. On this Easter day, we thank and praise you for your gift of eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus. We rejoice with all the saints in glory, and we pray for our loved ones who've died, that free from sorrow and pain, they may be at peace with you. We remember today those whose anniversary occurs at this time: Edith Kitchener, Eva Trapp, Janet Trapp, Anne Kennedy, and Michael Ivory. May they be at peace with you in your kingdom, for Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light that no darkness can quench. Risen Lord, be present in his name. We commend to you and your everlasting love those who've died, and light a candle as a symbol of the light of Christ. We remember those in our hearts this Eastertide, for you turn our darkness into light, and in your light shall we see light. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.